following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Welcome to The Leftovers, brought to you by the Underdog Sports Network, with Josh Dunn, Anshu Khanna, and Dan Bauer.
Hello and welcome to The Leftovers on May 11th. I'm very excited for this episode. Special guest, as we alluded to on our Hump Day episode, we have my brother, Mark Bauer. Thanks for joining us today, my good man.
Dan, thanks for having me, and thanks to Josh and Anshu for stepping aside for the evening and giving me my moment in your guys' podcast.
Well, we appreciate it. Hopefully don't be too harsh on Mark in the comments. This is his first podcast appearance, but hey, who knows? Maybe we'll replace Josh or Anshu if he really steps up today. And so speaking of teams who are really stepping up, the New York Yankees, 17 of their last 18 winners, looking like it's going to be 17 out of their last 19 as that game wraps up 4-0 Boston currently. A Yankees team that Josh, Anshu, and I talked a lot about early in the season that we didn't really think was going to quite be able to stay with the Red Sox over the course of a regular season. Playoffs may be a different story, but they sure are doing it. Again, a very kind of unexpected strength run, just out-slugging guys. Mark, what's your take on the Yankees this year? Do you think this is sustainable, or do you think the Red Sox are going to pull away, put some games between them and the Yankees in the division?
I certainly think that this is sustainable, and I actually think that the Yankees will come out on top of the AL East when all is said and done. Like you said, been playing phenomenal baseball. They've won 8 straight games. Looks like they're going to drop this one tonight. Losing 4-0, bottom of the 6th inning. So unlikely they're going to get the win tonight. But who knows if Aaron Judge's bat is swinging like it was on Wednesday night. That home run was just unbelievable that he smoked the center field, just a line drive, which is pretty awesome. But it's amazing. Both of these teams atop the AL East are just playing phenomenal baseball. Ridiculous run differentials, second to only the Astros right now in baseball. And there's no one even close after that. And also 2 best records in baseball. So this is going to be a fun one to watch. We're going to get 19 matchups this season, and I think every last one of them is going to count.
Mark coming in with the hot takes and full of stats. Good job, buddy. So you mentioned you think it's sustainable. Do you think this is more that the Yankees are going to win it or the Red Sox going to lose it? You know, we've seen that this Red Sox team struggled in the playoffs in recent years and not exactly the world's most clutch team. You know, they started out hot, a little bit cold since then. So is this the Yankees going out to get a division or the Red Sox, you know, pittering one away as the season progresses?
I think this race is going to be one for the history books. I think the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to come down to the wire in terms of who comes out atop the AL East. So I don't think it's that the Red Sox are going to give it away. I just think that the Yankees are a great baseball team, strong on both sides of the plate, and that they're going to come away with it when all is said and done.
We'll go into the East in the NL and a very unexpected race. Obviously, Yankees and Red Sox, we all knew they were going to be at the top. But the Braves and the Phillies atop the NL East, something that nobody expected, and they continue to do it. We alluded to it on previous shows, mentioned it briefly, but I think it's time we delve into this a little bit more. So depending on how tonight's results shake out, it'll look like it's going to be Atlanta still technically in the lead in that division, but Atlanta and Philly getting a couple games on the Nationals. This Philadelphia team, very surprising they're able to do this. It's not like they're having a crazy year out of anybody. Adubel Herrera is just hitting the crap out of the ball, 341, 411, 527 slash. But the guys that you expected to really contribute to this team, you know, Carlos Santana only hitting 189. Rhys Hoskins with a respectable 274, but only 5 home runs. You probably expected a little bit more out of him at this point this year, especially with some of the seasons you're getting from, you know, these kind of young superstar counterparts, and guys like Mike Trout, who just some crazy stats today I'll get to a little bit later. But playing extremely well in terms of the Atlanta Braves. Ronald Acuna, who, again, we've talked about having a very nice start since his call-up in 13 games, 57 plate appearances. He's slashing 302, 351, 566, three home runs, and each of those home runs just absolute moonshots. You know, I think almost every single one of them was in the second deck. You know, if he plays like this, you probably see him get Rookie of the Year, and it's a real, real fun game, fun team to watch. Both of them are very, 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 very slim chance, I think, either of these teams actually pull out the division. But Mark, what do you think? Do you think that the Washington Nationals are going to regain their rightful place atop the NL East, or do you think that either Atlanta or Philadelphia has a realistic shot to win this division?
Yeah, so you hit on a lot of the Braves and the Phillies. I think two young teams that have a really bright future in the next couple seasons. But I think ultimately the Nationals are going to come away with it in terms of the NL East. I think in terms of the National League, this is going to be an exciting race to watch. I think it'll be close, but I think in the end the Nationals are going to come away with it. the Nationals have struggled early in the season, a couple of big injuries early on that they're now coming back from, 8-2 in their last 10 games. And that's with a pretty slow bat from Bryce Harper in the month of May. So I think once that heats up, team's going to keep playing great baseball, and ultimately they're going to be the ones who come away with it. You know, I think they're still just the better team and the best team in the division.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, but it's one of those things that makes baseball such a great game is, you know, you still got to play them. And the Braves and the Phillies really are. Another kind of fun Phillies note from today, the Phillies demoted Zach Curtis and called up Jake Thompson, which officially leaves the Philadelphia Phillies with no left-handed pitchers on the active 25-man roster, which in today's day and age of sabermetrics and matchups and you know, kind of one for one, getting lefty, lefty, righty, righty, and making sure you have matchups. The Phillies just continue to do everything unconventional. Not exactly the biggest of accolades for their management team and their front office here, and, you know, especially their head coach. But they're doing it in a creative way, and they're about to be winning the division here, and kind of hard to question them. So, Mark, do you think that, you know, what are your general real quick thought on having not a single left-handed pitcher on the Phillies roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general that's a pretty big problem. I think that's a weapon that every team is going to want to have in their arsenal. so I think that it kind of comes down to the Phillies are going to have to make some moves before the trade deadline this season. That's definitely going to be one of the holes that they're going to need to fill. And I think that with both the Phillies and the Braves, that's what's going to need to happen if one of these teams were to pull away and win the division. It's that they're going to make a blockbuster move before the trade deadline. But I think if it's more of the status quo from both of these teams, I think the Nationals are going to end up pulling away and winning the division.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. It'll be interesting to see what the Phillies and Braves, what they – you know, once July, August rolls around, if they're still contenders, if they decide they want to try to make a run and make a big move, or if they just recognize the fact that, hey, we're a young team, we're just going to kind of play this thing out, and we're playing for 2019 and 2020. But speaking of teams who are playing very much for this year and not waiting around anymore, the Indians wanted to get Mark's take on this. He, as well as I, you know, big Indians fans, as you guys know. So one of the things that Mark and I have been talking about recently that wanted to let him expand upon here, give him his shot, is the fact that the Indians bullpen is one of the worst in baseball at this point, and, you know, from any objective measurement, Tito doesn't trust anybody in the bullpen. You know, Andrew Miller's been hurt, so what's been happening is, you know, very quietly, the Indian starters are getting extended. We had Trevor Bauer throw 122 pitches a couple weeks ago. Clevinger, Kluber, Carrasco, they're all throwing 110, 115 pitches a game, which, you know, they can do it, but I don't know how long it's sustainable. So my question to you, Mark, is how concerned are you about Indian starters getting extended in the seventh, eighth inning, throwing 115, 120 pitches when it comes to playoff time?
Yeah, so I think in general, I can understand the concern that comes from the Indians fan base when they sit down and turn their TV on and they realize that the starter's still in 115 pitches deep into the game. I think that can set off some alarms, especially this early in the season. But what I think it all boils down to is you have to realize that Terry Francona is one of the best coaches in baseball. And there's a reason that he's making these decisions, and it's that he thinks this is the best way for the team to win and win now. I think that right now he sees, like you said, the weaknesses in the bullpen. So he's kind of relying on his starters right now to win baseball games now, stay atop of a very, very weak division in the AL Central, and hope that in the coming months we're going to see return of Andrew Miller, which I think will be huge for the team, take some of the pressures off the starting pitchers for the Indians. And then also a similar storyline here, if the Indians are able to make a move before the deadline to bolster their bullpen, which I think they desperately need to do so, I think that can later in the season take some of this workload off of our starting pitchers. So I think that we're in a win and win now mentality, and they're going to keep doing that. And hopefully later in the season, with a few of those things like Andrew Miller being back, maybe an acquisition for the team. And also something that I didn't hit on is maybe if Josh Tomlin steps up, starts playing better baseball later in the season. He's kind of struggled here early on. But if he can step up and kind of find his rhythm again, maybe he'd be able to take a little bit of that workload off of the likes of Kluber, Carrasco, and Trevor Bauer.
Well, speaking of guys who are hitting their groove, Marc-Andre Fleury, we're going to talk a little hockey here today, fellas. So for all you listeners, we alluded to it before. Mark is also a big hockey fan, so we're going to give you a little hockey here to end the show. Mark is a big Pittsburgh Penguins fan, much to Josh's dismay. So he saw a lot of Marc-Andre Fleury the past couple of years, and he is now leading the Vegas Golden Knights to the Western Conference Finals, and with a 1.53 goals against average, four shutouts so far this playoffs, and a guy who's kind of resurrected his career. He's never been known as a big-time playoff goaltender. He's gotten a lot of flack for that. The Penguins' current goalie, Matt Murray, took over for him the past couple of years. You know, Fleury got injured, Matt Murray took over and never looked back. He doesn't get protected in the expansion draft, goes to Vegas, and has them four wins away from the Stanley Cup. So, Mark, is there anything that you saw in Marc-Andre Fleury that you expected him to go to Vegas and do this, or is this completely unexpected from the aging goaltender?
Yeah, well, I'd say, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury definitely carried a huge workload and during the regular season for the Pens. Great goaltender, but he just never quite had it in the playoffs for a number of reasons that you may be able to come up with. And I think that he doesn't get a lot of credit there in terms of Matt Murray being able to then step in and sort of take over was, you know, how well Fleury did play during the regular seasons when he was in Pittsburgh. So I would say this is definitely not something that I saw coming. Not something that I think many people would have really expected from Fleury, in the playoffs, especially. He's just been absolutely standing on his head. In my opinion, so far the best goaltender in these playoffs. And I think he's going to continue to do that. Maybe just what it comes down to is you see Fleury as a more relaxed goaltender in Vegas. He feels like some of those pressures that he had in Pittsburgh, are kind of lifted off of his shoulders, and it's allowing him to play some of the best playoff hockey of his life so far.
Very good take from you on that one. And sticking with a theme of good hockey, this one's going to sting a little bit. The Washington Capitals finally get past your Pittsburgh Penguins. they were due. Finally happened. Ovechkin finally gets to a conference finals. Ends a streak for the fans of anybody in Washington of their teams being unable to get to a conference finals. And now I'm blanking on, I believe it's like 20 years. So I'm sure most of you guys listening know that stat. Now I'm blanking. But been a long time for anybody in Washington. So did you, kind of what's your thoughts on how far can this Capitals team go? Do you think the ride ends in the Eastern Conference Finals, or do you think that this is a true Stanley Cup contender?
Yeah, so I'll sort of try to put my bias aside here, even though it may sound like it's coming out, but I don't think that the Capitals are going to end up making it past the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that they're crashing against a very good Tampa Bay Lightning team here. I think it's going to be a good series, but I think when it comes down to it, the Tampa Bay Lightning are just a better team. They beat a very good Boston Bruins team to get here, and the Capitals took down a somewhat weaker Penguins team than we've seen in the last few seasons. Pretty weak goaltending from Matt Murray, and I think that they're just not going to have what it takes to make it to the finals.
The Nashville Predators also don't look like they have what it takes. Currently down 3-1, just about halfway through the third in that one. So it's looking like, barring a crazy comeback from Nashville, will be the Vegas Golden Knights against the Winnipeg Jets. In the West, you kind of already gave your Eastern Conference prediction. So you're saying Lightning to the Stanley Cup. What do you think in the West? Do you think it's Vegas or Winnipeg? And then give me your Stanley Cup winner.
So I'm riding Vegas here all the way. I think that we're going to see something remarkable here. And I think that Vegas has what it takes. Some great players. But what it comes down to is if Marc-Andre Fleury can keep playing in goal the way he has been, I don't think anyone in the league can take them down right now. So I think that this is Vegas's year. What about you?
Wow. I love it. No one's been able to beat him in Vegas this year. So I have to agree with you. I honestly do think Winnipeg is a very good team. So my honest thought is that whoever wins the West is going to be your Stanley Cup final. So I think Winnipeg's a little bit better team. Until Marc-Andre Fleury proves otherwise, I got to kind of give him that playoff knock, even though he's been playing so hot so far. So I think it's Winnipeg.
Fair enough.
I think it's Winnipeg all the way. Kind of quick note that I forgot to mention on this Predators game, and then we'll get to our oh by the ways and let you guys go. But a very odd move that they pull Pekka Rinne very early in the first period. Lets two, to be fair, kind of garbage goals go by him. But a guy who's probably going to win the Vezina, and you pull him in a game seven of a playoff series. It's very odd. I mean, obviously it's not looking like it's going to matter unless the Predators can score three goals here in the next 9 minutes, but very odd move. So real quick, any thoughts on pulling Pekka Rinne, and then we'll get to our oh by the ways and let our listeners go.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that I agree. It was a wild move. And the fact that, this is now the third time in this series that they have pulled Pekka Rinne. Pretty remarkable with a goaltender of that stature to be pulled three times in a seven-game series. I just think that has to be leave him totally dejected, as many fans saw. He was sitting in the tunnel after he got pulled from the game tonight. But big props to Pekka Rinne. Gets pulled from the game, and then he's right back out there after giving himself a few minutes in the tunnel. He's sitting on the bench. True sportsman right there. So you got to give him some credit for that.
Love the stats to close it out on that one. You did your homework, my friend. So our oh by the ways real quick. Mark, I know you're excited to get to yours. So we'll let you go first with your oh by the way. I'll give mine, and we'll let everyone get to their weekend.
All right, so I'm going to stick with the hockey theme here. And even though neither of us like them to win the Stanley Cup, the Tampa Bay Lightning are the only team left in the playoffs right now that has actually won a Stanley Cup. So fairly likely that we're going to see a team win their first Stanley Cup here pretty soon.
Very nicely done. So I want to just quickly, by the way, address, you know, a story that we didn't talk about, and just kind of give a little bit of 2 cents why. Earlier, it kind of came out that Matt Patricia, the new new allegations that there was some stuff in his past that I don't even want to get into because it turns out later it was false. So just a little reminder to everybody who listens to the show that not necessary to jump on every Twitter allegation and rumor, because sometimes you end up smearing a guy's name who looks like never did anything wrong and got his name dragged through the mud for a little bit today. So a quick reminder, in this crazy social media world, don't run with every story that you hear. But Mark, thank you so much for joining me today. This was even more fun than I can imagine. It's been a ride. Listeners, if you liked Mark, if you want to hear more of him, make sure you let us know in the comments. Continue with those 5-star ratings reviews. Don't be too harsh on him if you didn't like him, but make sure make sure you let us know if you like him. So, Mark, any last words for our listeners before they get to their weekend?
Yeah, I just want to say, Dan, thanks for having me aboard. It was fun, and open to any and all comments, good or bad. So let's hear it.
All right. Love you being a good sport. So for Mark Bauer, this is Dan Bauer, and this has been The Leftovers. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll catch you on Monday.